Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined by three people in a crammed studio because Darren Hughes, our man from Paddy Power today, has flown over especially to be here. So we've got Darren, we've got Paul Keighley, and we've got James Hill. Hopefully they've got all the winners, well maybe not all the winners, but a lot of winners for a great day of TV action. Kempton and Warwick are the ITV meetings. We will be looking at all the other Saturday action and also looking ahead to a decent card at Punchestown on Sunday. We will start, though, with the 150 at Warwick. It's a bit of a mouthful, this one. It's the McCoy Contractors 2019 Construction News Award finalist, Hampton Novices Chase. Only four runners, but Keels thinks it could be a Cheltenham Festival winner in there before he reveals who. Darren, how are Paddy Power betting?
Oh, Jesus, good luck to the lads getting this on the trophy for the eventual winner anyway.
Yeah, the engraver's got his work cut out here, hasn't he?
Absolutely, it's nuts. But give you the rundown of the prices. So we have Rocky's Treasure in as our 6-5 fav. OK Corral is second fav at 13-8. White Moon is 11-2. And Paul Nichols, Secret Investor, is 7-1.
God, this is great having you in the studio. I'm enjoying it no end. I'm enjoying it so much. You can kick off. Who's going to win this one, Darren?
Cool. Well, it's a competitive little affair, given there's only four runners. You know, it's disappointing to see it cut up, but at the same time, we're not short on quality. Rocky Treasure is obviously fav, and probably for good reason. My issue with him might be that the good ground, is he definitely going to handle it? You could say definitely question the same for OK Corral, but I was really impressed with him at Plumpton the last time. And what impressed me the most was after he made his mistake, his jumping really tidied up. He didn't just throw in the towel. Interesting that they've left him in here, given that there are obvious doubts about him handling the ground, but he'd be the one I'd be inclined to side with at 13-8 here.
And Keels, that's pretty much chimes with what you're thinking, doesn't it?
Not in terms of this race. I mean, okay. I was just pointing out earlier that, you know, Nicky Henderson running a novice chase, and suddenly Derek O'Connor's come over, and you can see the reaction. He's been cut across the board for the 4 miler. Obviously, people putting two and two together, probably getting four. This could well be Derek O'Connor's ride in the 4 miler at the Cheltenham Festival. So he's got a chance. His jumping did improve after he made a mistake there. I disagree about Rocky's Treasure. They've always said he wanted decent ground. His only defeat came on soft ground over fences. Admittedly, that was to Santini, so you can't say he ran badly. I think he handles most. I was a bit disappointed. I wanted him to run in because he was entered in the classic, the 3 mile 5 furlong handicap, and I thought he had a great chance in that. And I think this is possibly, he was 8-1, he's 6-5 for this, but this is a tighter little race, like, you know. And I think giving £5 away to some very good horses, rather than exposed handicappers, he might struggle. And one I put up earlier in the week was Secret Investor. I think there was 13 declared when I put it up, and it was 8. Now there's 4, and it's still 7s. So not that many people agree with me, but I thought, you know, he's only run once over fences. It's a good second, a bad groove. I thought that was really good. He won a grade 2 over hurdles the time before that. I think 7-1 is a fair price.
Back the outsider in a four-runner race, as no one's ever said. I wonder how that looks.
It's just probably as badly as the outsider of 3.
James, what's your view on this one?
A bit boring, I'm afraid, Bruce. I think Rocky's Treasure will win. One of the big improvers this season. He's already £18 higher than he was over hurdles. Jumps really well, and a track like Warwick should stand him in really good stead. He's got the £5 penalty for his win at Doncaster last time, but I think he can overcome it, and the ground should suit.
Lovely stuff. Let's move on to the 225, which is the Ballymore Leamington Novices Hurdle. And we've got slightly more runners here. Take it away with the show, Darren.
Sure thing. So we're actually money back on this race if Birchdale wins the race. That's Paddy Power's offer in this race. And Birchdale is indeed an unpopular favourite, given the many fingers he burnt last week before the Tolworth. Never saw a flood of money like it on the Thursday morning. But it was very strange because Barry Garrity was already jocked up on Rathill. So unlikely to get too many answers given his connections, I'd say. But prices anyway are Birchdale is our 11-8 fav. Tidal Flow is 9-4. Stony Mountain is 11-2. Rock Point is 6-1, Beakstown is 9-1, Champagne Court is 14s, and Fin on Bond rounds them out at 16-1.
And Keels, who do you like here?
I like Tidal Flow. People have this fantasy about Nicky Henderson horses that are unbeaten. They're just guaranteed to be favourite wherever they run. Now, he did perfectly okay at a maiden hurdle last time, other than being pretty green and wanting to hang to his left after the last. Now, you can hang out a long way at Warwick as well after the last, so that would worry me slightly. But his form is nowhere near as good as that of Tidal Flows, who beat a very expensive odds-on Henderson horse at Newbury last time out and just looked really, really professional. I think Birchdale will have to have grown up a lot to beat him off levels. I'd make him fav. I think he might end up being fav on the day. And yeah, I don't see any of the others being good enough, to be honest.
Tidal Flow for Kills. Who for you, James?
It's a cracking little contest. A horse I've really liked this season is Stony Mountain. I was really impressed with him back in October when he won at Aintree. Him and 145 rated II Charlie, they kicked 13 lengths clear of the third horse from the last Saturday. And he probably should have won his penultimate outing at Ascot. Just got sucked into going too fast there. Was beaten by a decent horse of Nicky Henderson's. He'll light the ground. And yeah, I think he can prove better than his price.
Okay, it's a shame there's seven runners, isn't it? Because they're in a lovely little each
way.
I think
he can win it.
Yeah? You're not messing around with the old each way.
I think you know, he's a win bet.
Lovely. Okay, and Darren, your selection?
I'd echo that, but knowing there's only seven runners here, definitely agree with Paul. Tidal Flow looks like a proper tool, and I know Frank is very sweet on him at home back in Dublin as well. One I was kind of half interested here is Beakstown for the Skeletons. I know he's very highly regarded by them, and I think it was just greenness that beat him the last time. Isn't the worst form in the world. Now look, you'd love if there was eight runners and you could smash into him each way, but I'd probably still give him a chance, definitely at 9-1. I think Birchdale's a disgusting price at 11-8. You couldn't be getting stuck into that, so could even play slay him if you're feeling particularly bold and
surely
chance
could.
Speaks down.
You think this could be a race that could be one of those ones come March that is fairly relevant, don't you, James?
It usually is, yeah. It's been a good trial in the past, likes of Willoughby Court and
the new one won it.
Yeah. Okay, 3 o'clock. It's the McCoy Contractors Civil Engineering Classic Handicap Chase. 3 miles, 5 furlongs, really decent field, really decent race. Darren, what's the betting?
So we're actually paying 4 places here in this race.
Jolly good.
Bruce, typically competitive affair. Ibis Steru tops our betting at 11-2. Step Back is 6-1. Callet Mad is 7-1. Carol's Destrier is 8s, as is Cogri. Milan's Bar is 8-1 as well. And Jewel of Dawn is 10-1, and it's Tens Bar.
Lead on James Hill.
The one I like here is Step Back, the Bet365 Gold Cup winner. He's about a stone higher now, but that form has worked out really well. He got a boost again last weekend with the 7th and 9th finishing 1st and 2nd in the Veterans Chase. It's probably not the right way around for him. He does prefer to go right-handed. That said, I mean, you look at his career record, I think 4 of his top 5 RPRs are at left-handed tracks, including the turning Fakenham, so he can handle it.
Yeah.
Jumps well. I just don't think there's not many that appeal here, and I think in a race where good jumping is very important and staying is important, his form's as good as any.
Okay. Did you notice when you named your selection, just in the corner of your eye, Keel's just going?
I did, yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought to myself, I'll show him.
Yeah, you held it together well there, didn't you? Held it together well. Before Keel's tells us why he's pouring a bucket of cold water on James's selection, Darren, who do you like?
The one I'm actually really sweet on here is Jewel of Dawn. He looks very, very well handicapped in the context of this race. His runs behind Miss Parfois and Size in Tennessee last year are excellent, and he's actually dropped in the weight since then. I make him to have 8 or 9 pounds in hand. The 4-miler was probably just all a little bit too much from last year on rotten ground at Cheltenham, and I think the good ground and the benefit of a run this year will have him sweet for this, and I think he's a cracking price at 10-1, especially with 4 places.
Splendid. Keels, have you got strong fancy? We know you don't like...
Funny enough, I liked a few in this. I had a shortlist and I'd back Rocky's Treasure, and everyone at the top of my shortlist was not declared. So I had to start again, and I came down on Jewel at Dawn as well. I was a little bit worried about the ground with him because he said to want soft ground, but when you look at his form, he's gone perfectly fine on good to soft and decent ground in the past, so I'm not going to worry that much. And at Cheltenham in the 4-miler, it was a big field and his jumping just got very slow, and... I'd forgive him that now. When he returned at Haydock in the Tommy Whittle, he got involved in a battle for the lead with 3 others. I think they finished 6th, 7th, 8th, and 10th out of the 10 finishers, the 4 front runners. He was 7th. Houblon Des Aubeaux was the one that was 6th. He came out and won the Veterans Chase. So, you know, if you go too hard and you're having your first run for 9 months, it's guaranteed to find you out, and I think that did. step back from me. Let's just go, James. I did look at him. I did like him, and we can say however many of his top RPRs are that way round. But he's got that one outlier at Sandown, which he absolutely loved. He jumped right at virtually every fence at Chepstow on his return. You're not talking violently, right? But still enough to take it out of you on a sharpish track like Warwick. You know, I'm just not convinced about him round there. I'm not convinced about Ibis de Roe. I can't believe he's favourite with Paddy Power. I didn't think he'd be a stay at all.
It's not a horse running Saturday. I'd like to back less than Ibis de Roe.
Yeah. So you've been having arguments with your colleagues in the office, have you? Because you seem to be clear.
They're all cleverer than I am.
And there are lots of, you know, Milan's Bar is only 8-1, but he won the race last year, but he's a soft ground horse. One at a bigger price to go well sizing Cadelco, who was second in a good race at Utoxa at last seen in May. He's rated 156, which is high enough for a 10-year-old, but you know, if he can run to it, I don't think this is the hottest race going.
Okay, right. And our final televised contest at Warwick is the 3:35, the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle. It's a qualifier with all the pitfalls and questions that entails. What's the latest betting, Darren?
Sure, yeah. So another competitive affair here. And first assignment heads our market at 11-4. Black Lion is 7-2. Keeper Hill and Longarno Palace are both 11-2. Not What I Am is 6-1, and we are 10s bar.
It's much better having you guys in the office. Can you just fly over every week, please? This is much, much better. Keels.
Yeah, interesting little race this. I mean, first assignment, he got beat that day, but I mean, that was a week after winning at Cheltenham, and the trainer said beforehand he didn't think that he was the sort of horse that was robust enough to take a quick race, and he went off 11-10. He got beat, but he's £7 higher than that at Haydock as well now. And the other thing about it is, this is a Potemps qualifier, and he doesn't need to win it to get in. He's already rated 142 and a winner runoff about 139 last year. So he's in the Potemps if he finishes in the first six, which he will do in this race because there's only 10 runners. So looking at them, the next two in the betting, Black Lion and Keeper Hill are both chasers, really.
What's Black Lion like over there? I can't remember.
It's that long ago, isn't it?
He
wasn't bad, but I mean, he loves bottomless ground as well, doesn't he? And it's going to be pretty quick round there. So for me, I'm going to go for an outsider, Hollybush Henry, pulled up in the Welsh National last time. Now he's mixed chasing with hurdling a lot, and he actually ran before that Chepstow rally. He ran his best ever race over fences when second at Ludlow, over 3 miles. He's within £2 of his last winning mark over hurdles. He's just as good on good ground. And the trainer's booked Richard Johnson. I think he's had two winners from four rides for the yard, and you know that's the only time Phil Middleton has put him on. So he just interests me at a price in a race that I don't think is that warm, to be honest.
Okay. So that's a rubbish tip, James?
The Richard Johnson angle I like. I have to say, I think Darren makes a much better case for Not What I Am. Well, not much better case, but he's the one I agree with anyway.
I've never known James be any. I've worked with James for, how long have you been with us, James, now? 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years. I've never, ever known you to be remotely, no friction, no beefs, no nothing. Yeah, just been the most
I'm in a feisty mood today.
Ever. But yeah, now you've come out fighting, haven't you? Yeah. So what's going to win then,
so
James?
So Not What I Am. I think on his form this season, he's got to have a big chance. I mean, he was travelling well behind the now 150 rated the Mighty Don at Cheltenham in October when he fell two out. And he finished third behind the now 158 rated Midnight Shadow at Aintree. That form looks very good now. I personally think he wants soft ground, but I think with this step up in trip and looking at his pedigree, this better ground shouldn't be too much of a problem. He shouldn't handle it. So over this longer distance, I'm going to go with him.
Lovely stuff. That was Warwick. We'll do Kempton next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back. Three really good races at Kempton. Supplement the Warwick action. We'll take the first of them, the 205, the 32 Red Casino Chase. Only five runners, but some really familiar names. This should be a cracker. I'm looking forward to this. What's the latest betting, Darren?
It's the race of the weekend, Bruce. Yeah, definitely. Charbel is our 6-5 favourite here. Top Notch follows him closely in a 13-8. Black Curtain is 11-2. Sperrideck is 10s. And Hammersley Lake rounds them out at 12s.
Cracking little contest, girls. Who wins?
It is a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, it should theoretically be between Sharble and Top Notch. I'm a bit worried about Sharble because he's likely to get taken on by Sperodek, who can be a right tear away. And you know, obviously, Sharble really put him to the sword in the Peterborough chase, but I think they might just set it up for Top Notch. Ain't a race I'm going to be smashing in, but I think I'll just give Top Notch the edge.
Top Notch, yeah?
Yeah.
Grand old servant. We all love Top Notch.
He's only about eight, isn't he?
Well, he's been around the block, hasn't he?
I'll go with Sharble here. I think I was very impressed by his performance in the Peterborough. He'll like this ground. I mean, he's at the top of his game. I mean, we all know how good he was as a novice when he was giving Altior a proper race in the Arkle.
Stop bringing that up, will you?
Well, yeah, it was you, wasn't it?
Oh.
Cheek pieces are now on a Noel Feely. They seem to have done the trick, so I'm not going to oppose him.
Are you going to oppose Sharbel, Darren?
Absolutely not, no. The last time I was on, I put him up for the Ryanair 33s, and he's not that price anymore. Look, no disrespect to David Bass, brilliant jockey, but Noel really got him jumping the last time, which has been Sharbel's issue. I think he's liable to clatter a few, but he was impeccable the last day. Couldn't have been more impressed. I do see how, you know, Sperodek could take him on, but Sharbel isn't necessarily a horse that needs to lead. He can lead, but he doesn't necessarily need to. I think if he sits in behind Sperodek, if that's the way it works out, absolutely no problem, and I see him winning this relatively handy.
Really, it's laughable that Kills is top notch.
Not laughable as such, but unwise is the way I'd put it.
Okay, fine. Jolly good. Right, 240. You've had some unwise bets down the years, Kills, as well as the inspired stuff, haven't you, mate?
Oh, God, yeah. No, there's definitely been more unwise bets than inspired, to be fair.
We've got the 240, the Unibet Lanzarote hurdle next, and it's a competitive affair. Darren?
Yeah, competitive, but we're paying five places on this.
Wow.
Race, so you have a cracking chance of getting a few quid out of it. And Cloudgate for Gary Moore is our 7-2 favourite here. Darling Malte at fives is our second fav. Cotswold Way is sevens. Do Pretender is sevens. Eric LaRouge and Lord Napier are eights. And we are 12s bar.
Do you remember when we were kids, first punting? Imagine someone had said you get five places in a 15-runner race. Wouldn't that have been great? James, who's going to win?
I'm going to go for Cotswold Way here. Won his last three starts. Probably got a bit to find on form, but some of his form isn't bad. I mean, last time at Leicester, he beat an 80-rated horse on the flat, giving nearly a stone. Looks to have like a bit more to come. And he's the sort of horse I think that the Philip Hobbs yard does well with. So I'm expecting a big run from him.
Okay. Yeah. Darren, who's your selection?
Yes, there was three I was actually interested in here. The one I'm probably going to side with is Lord Napier. Now, look, he definitely wasn't bred to be going winning Lanzarote hurdles in January, given he's a Galileo. But I think he's well handicapped and the ground should suit him. The fact he's been winning races on soft ground as well is really encouraging, given you'd imagine he'll prefer better ground. The other one at a big enough price was And the New, who's 20-1 for Johnny Farley. Daryl Jacob is an eye-catcher enough book, and from my reckoning, it's the first ride he's ever actually had for the yard, I think. A couple of bits of form make him interesting, principally his sixth to Laller in the entry bumper a couple of years back. Just think, you know, he's had a wind up as well, so he could be definitely interesting at a price, but I'm going to side with Lord Napier just about.
Who are you going with, Kills?
Well, I mean, I initially thought and still do that Cloudgate is a very solid favourite. He's getting on the short side for me now. He's won his last two. He's still only rated 127. He was second to Stratum in a 100 grand flat handicap of 90 something at Newbury on the flat last season. He's obviously still on a very, very good mark if he can translate all that form, and he has been hacking up. Lord Napier definitely wants to go up and trip. He was another one on my shortlist. But the price is now, and especially when you can get five places, it's well worth having a pop. A couple of outsiders, and one that they've got in at 20s, Big Time Dancer, it fascinates me. He had a wind up, taking the time to get used to being able to breathe, I suppose. But his last two runs have been the best two of his life. He absolutely hacked up by 10 lengths last time. He's up a fair way in the weights. But Jenny Candice, she's booked John Joe O'Neill Jr. on there for take off £5. She had him in a race at Wetherby on the same day, worth much less. Decided it's worth coming here to have a crack. And I think he'd probably got a decent chance. Didn't half show a good turn of foot last time. So a big price, I'll take him.
With the five-place concession, that's obviously available at Paddy Power and also on the Racing Post app. The final ITV contest is the 3:15 at Kempton, the Unibet Handicap Chase, over 3 miles, seven runners, very competitive. Darren, what's the latest betting?
Well, no end to Paddy's generosity here. We're actually paying three places on this race for
that's
a seven-runner
excellent.
Race, so you can't go too far wrong. Glen Rocco is our 11-4 fav. Ballycan and Barney Dwan are both threes. Ballylongford is fives, Josses Hill is sevens, Manella Daddy is 10s and Cold March is 16s.
And who will win, Darren?
A competitive little affair given the small field. I see Barney Dwan is in there at 3s, but Josses Hill is over twice the price, and by my reckoning, he's waited to beat him. Barney Dwan was 10 lengths behind Charbel, getting £11 earlier on this year, and Josses Hill was beaten 13 lengths off levels. So, I mean, you know, on weights there, you'd say definitely that Josses Hill can go and win this. It's a second run after a wind-up, and he's definitely well handicapped off. I think it's at 148, Keels might know there. He likes Kempton, has won here, and I think, yeah, with three places, especially at his price, I think he's a smashing bet.
Do you agree, Keels?
Well, I don't know about Josses Hill. It all depends on his jumping, doesn't it? Because he's a bit of a nutter. I'm a bit of a Ballycan fan. He tends to run all his best races at Kempton too. He was second in what was the old Racing Post Chase last year. He's still on the same mark. Perfectly good second to Fakenham, first time up this year. So I'll take him.
And James?
Yeah, I'd agree with Keels. I mean, they're more talented sorts probably in the race than him, but he's a safe choice, definitely. He goes very well at Kempton, as Keels said, on the same mark as when second in the old Racing Post Chase last year, and in decent form, like the ground too.
Okay. Why don't we just call it what it is called these days?
Because I don't know what it is.
Don't know, yeah.
changes every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Was it Unibet now?
Is it?
Don't know who Unibet are, but the Unibet Handicap Chase.
Excellent. Okay, right. Let's see what else the lads fancy. On Saturday, we've got the rest of the Kempton and Warwick cards. We've got a meeting at Wetherby. They're also in action at Lingfield and Newcastle, and also over at Fairy House, where Darren may well have one or two winners for us. Darren, lead on.
Yes, yeah, so just one here, the Dan Moore Memorial Chase. It's a grade A handicap, so it'd be typically competitive. Duke of the Tay is our 7-2 fav, but I'm more interested in Kildarry for Ted Walsh. He's actually already beaten Duke of the Tay this year, and he's better off with the weights since that run. I think he's a smash bet. He's 11-2 at the moment. Blazer is also of some interest for William Mullins, but again, he's one of these nut jobs. You never know whether he's going to show up in good form or not. So he's definitely comes at risks attached. So Kildarry each way at 11-2 in the Danmore Memorial Chase would be my only one for Saturday.
How many have you got for us, Paul?
I've just got the one.
Go on then.
Yeah, I'm just quite interested. There's a seven-runner chase at Warwick, the 115. It must be a hard race to price up because most of them are badly out of form. That includes Rock on Rocky, who I quite like. Now, he ran a couple of decent races early in the season, then he was well beaten at Newbury on Hennessy Day. I mean, that was a tough race for an 11-year-old. And then he went off like a bat out of hell at Ascot last time, over nearly 2.5 miles, which is too far for him. So he's dropped massively down in weights. He was 139 or something at this time last year. He's down to 123. He's dropping in class. I think he might like it round here. So, Rock on Rocky.
And James?
Yeah, I'd like to give a mention to a horse who hasn't run since March 2016. This is Simply a Legend, who goes in the 250 at Wetherby. Last seen finishing second to a certain Might Bite at Kempton over hurdles.
You might have sussed one here.
Well, I mean, he hasn't dropped that much in the weights, but this race will be nothing like as good as that. And he does have a decent enough record fresh. I mean, I do think when these horses have had a long layoff, sometimes the best time to catch them can be first time out because, you know, you've got to get them pretty fit to get them back on the race course. I'm expecting him to go well.
Excellent. Nice one. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Coming then, Darren. What you got?
Jewel at Dawn in the 3 o'clock in Warwick.
Okay. Keels?
Can I second that?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Just give me a bit of confidence. Yeah. All right, please do.
Okay, so you're not going to be doing a treble, you're going to be doing a double, and it might be a single if you don't fancy Jewel at Dawn, do you? So who's your nap, James?
My nap is Quarto Rico in the 215 at Wetherby.
Wow. Very
impressive winner at Haydock last time. Does seem to go well at this time of year. He's 5 wins from 8 between December and February. And there is a little bit of rain forecast at Wetherby on Saturday. That would definitely help his course.
Rain? What's that?
We've forgotten about that, haven't we? Forgot what it looks like.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, chaps. Let's look at Sunday and we'll have a little Cheltenham chat as well.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, James Hill, Paul Keighley and Paddy Power's Darren Hughes. Looking ahead to Sunday's racing, where in terms of quality, all eyes will be on Punchestown. The 250 is the Sky Bet Moscow Flyer Novices Hurdle, remembering that fantastic horse. I think we've got some prices from Paddy Power. So I'm just going to chuck it over to Darren to take us through the Punchestown card.
Sure, so the lads have been on overtime here getting this priced up. And Build Me Up Buttercup, formerly of Mick Shannon, now with Willie Mullins, is our 15-8 favourite. Felix Deji for Jigginstown is 2-1 second fav. Harry is 10-3. Jedez is 11-2. Swordsman is 7s. And Yanmat is 33s. So, you know, 6 go to post here, but it's still a relatively competitive little affair. Build Me Up Buttercup looks a really smart recruit for Willie Mullins, and the form for a win is standing up reasonably well for all that it wasn't massively visually impressive. The second, third and fourth have all either won or placed since. But see, it's interesting, you don't know what the riding arrangements are with Willie at the moment, because Ruby is there and Harry at 10-3. Now, they say they're trying to push Paul for the Jockeys Championship, but God only knows, you know. I wouldn't have a massively strong opinion here. Like, Build Me Up Buttercup on her flat rating, you know, the old rule of thumb, add 45 or 50 pounds, and she looks that she should win this, especially getting the weight allowance, but wouldn't be a race to have a massively strong opinion on. Felix Deji has been underwhelming over hurdles. I think Offence will see the best of him, and he's a poor enough price at 2s. The other race then on the Punchestown card is the Grade 3 Novice Chase. Now, we don't have prices for this yet, but the likely fav, I'd say, is A Plutard for Sheevely Park and Henry de Bromhead. Really impressive, beating Duke de Geneva at Nav on the last day. Gets all the allowances for a five-year-old chaser, and I think he could be hard-beaten. Blow by Blow is in there. He looks tailor-made for the 4-miler. 2.5 miles is not his bag. Winter Escape for Aidan Howard and JP, somewhat interesting, but the form of his Cork win isn't brilliant form, and I wouldn't like to be relying on it. So A Plutard at a likely short price would be the one there for me as well.
Smashing. James, how would you price up whether or not Keels can sing the chorus to Build Me Up Buttercup? He must. I mean, Keels isn't...
In tune?
Well, no, not even in tune, but just so you could recognise it.
With Keels' voice, he'd tend to one on, wouldn't it? You could recognise it immediately.
You could recognise my voice. You wouldn't recognise the words. I don't know it, no.
You don't know the song?
No.
Don't
you? I've heard it.
I've never heard of it.
Haven't you?
No.
Okay, I have sung on the podcast before, and it's always been a disaster, so we won't... I know, imagine
I don't know anything
not,
about
no.
music, do I? He knows that.
I know, but you mustn't know. You mustn't. You did know I Believe I Can Fly, didn't you? Do you remember when that came out?
Yeah, yes. Sort of.
Stop the outro music for Build Me Up Buttercup. I've never heard it.
Why don't you build me up?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely recognise that.
I've definitely heard it, but I wouldn't know the words.
James, well in. Good singing. Brilliant. James, I don't think your Sunday tips are at Punchestown, are they? You're looking north of the border, aren't you?
Yeah, got one up at Kelso in the 205. Mount Muse makes his first start for Donald McCain here. First start of the season, but he does have a good record fresh. Last seen over fences, he was finishing third behind Black Horton and Miss Parfois, and that's very good form for this sort of grade. So I'm expecting him to make a light of his mark of 139. For his previous stable, the Jefferson Yard, they held him in really high regard. Mm. So yeah,
Kelso's a track that really does its bit for Sunday racing, doesn't it? Yeah. Whenever there's a Sunday card at Kelso, there's always a bit of quality on there. So yeah, we've got to go there, haven't we? Mm. Definitely, we should do an office outing, I reckon, to Kelso.
Flying, though.
I don't know.
Miles away.
Yeah, you get on the train, get up nice and early. Keels, where are your Sunday fences?
Right, well, I'll just talk about those two Punchestown races, because I'm going to back both of Jessica Harrington's horses. Jets in the chase at 1:15. Don't know what happened over Christmas, but that wasn't his run. And third to Delta Work is arguably the best form in the race, and you know it'll be about 5-1. So I thought I'd have a go at that. And what time is this?
2:15
or 3rd,
sorry.
What, the 2:50? And Jetez comes from handicaps, but he has been improving since the spring, and he's taken a big couple of leaps the last two runs he's had. You know, we've got all these sexy horses that have only just run in novices, but he looks like quite a tough horse to me, and I'd take a chance on him. Then over we go to Kelso. I've looked at the wrong date again. Hang on. We go Kelso. I had two at Kelso. We start with the 2:05. As a horse has won its last two, called Dimple, trained by Sandy Thompson, was trained in Ireland before.
What a lovely name for a horse.
Came over, absolutely bolted up, jumped from fence to fence, won easy over fences, went back over hurdles next time, did exactly the same. You could argue that he's gone up enough, but I just think if he'd been winning with his head in his chest, I think he'd go close again. That's 2:05. And the 3:10. Dropping dramatically in class and down the weight. Henryville had his first run for a while last time at Chepstow on bottomless ground, which doesn't really suit him. He's giving weight away to horses he'd have carried in his old in the old days, and on good ground that he likes. So I think he'll go well as well. 3:10 Kelso, Henryville.
Okay, thank you. 9 weeks from today, the Cheltenham Gold Cup will take place. So I'm just going to very quickly, I don't want the wires, I just want the horse. Who's your latest Gold Cup main fancy at this stage? James Hill.
I had to back one, I'd back Monoly.
Monoly, yeah. Okay. What about you, Kills?
If I had to back one, I'd probably be Kenboy. The only horse I had backed is Mr. Whittaker.
An absurd price. Can you believe that? He's backed Mr. Whittaker for the Gold Cup.
Do you want more on?
What price are you going to get? Mm-hmm. 300.
Probably a like right down. Shattered Love for me.
Shattered Love. Mm. It's a wide open race, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely wide open. And I believe there was a bit of good news for some otherwise disappointed Cheltenham punters with Paddy Power this week, wasn't there? Poor old the French horse that won at Plumpton last week and then promptly got injured. So
yeah, Master Dino, look, he looked really impressive. Like, the track definitely didn't suit him, but he really stuck on well to win. And unfortunately, then he was obviously ruled out on Monday, but the guys over in Power Tower have decided to refund all stakes on Master Dino for any race in Cheltenham for the JLT and the Arkle were the two that we laid him for. So it's stakes back on him if you'd backed him before the weekend.
Fair play. And I want one fresh Cheltenham thought from each of you. James?
I'm expecting Footpad to leave his run at Leopardstown behind last time. I'm expecting him to win nicely if he runs before Cheltenham. And for his price to contract quite a bit. I'm not saying he's going to beat Altior, but I think he's currently a good each-way bet.
Ooh. Kills?
One of my bets of the festival last year was Kustar Civil, who won the Ultima.
Mm.
He's now dropped within £3 of that mark that he won it off. And he's been in the frame at Cheltenham Festival for the last 3 years. He's still only 7, and he's 25-1 for the same race again. On Tempo 2, won it twice. That just interests me, so I've had a few good at 25s.
Lovely. Darren?
An interesting thought is that, you know, we all give out about the Mayor's Hurdle. Potentially, I think it's going to be the race of the festival this year. I think Lorena's going to end up going there. I think that Willie Mullins is going to bottle it and end up sending her to the Mayor's Hurdle, where she may well run into Apple's Jade.
That could be interesting.
Do you know what I mean? I think if somebody said to you you're going to Cheltenham on the Tuesday and you're going to see Lorena against Apple's Jade, wouldn't you be delighted?
Well, it'll make it a race worth watching for once, won't it?
That's what I mean, yeah. So I think potentially you could end up looking back on that. Because if Lorena doesn't run against Bouverdere, he's going to shit in. And there's none of the rest of the races jumping out to me at this stage. They've been the two. Well, Apple's Jade certainly has been the star of the season. So if they were to rock up against each other, Mayor's Hurdle or Champion Hurdle, I think we'd all be delighted.
Very interesting. Weekend plans. James, what have you got for us?
What
have you got for us? What are you doing? You're working tomorrow?
Working tomorrow. I'm seeing my godson on Sunday.
Have you got to buy him a present?
I bought him the presents, no presents I bought.
What you got him?
I got him one of these, hover footballs. Have you heard of one of them? You just, kick them on the... you have to do it on the kitchen floor or something. Kick it and just, flies across and stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
He's 22, isn't he? Oh, that'll be nice, won't it?
Yeah.
You're doing your godfather duties well there. Now, Keels, you've decided you were your first choice was Kempton.
My first choice was Kempton, but 5-5-3-5 or whatever with the runners and all that. It's a bit dull, isn't it? You know what I mean? And you know, a couple of the guys said, "Oh, we're going to Warwick," sort of an annual thing, and I hadn't even thought about that. So, yeah, I've never been to Warwick, so I'm going to be rocking up there tomorrow, yeah.
James, your dad used to be the chairman of Warwick Race Course,
what's your
tip for Kills? He'll have a good day, won't he?
Yeah, get stuck into the buffet there, the food's good. And
Can you put a few strings, get him a bit of corporate?
Yeah, I might find a little box for you somewhere or something.
Lovely.
Don't think that.
Yeah. Excellent, okay, jolly good. And Darren, what are you up to?
So I've just extended my stay. I'm not flying home till Sunday, so I'm going to stay at my Uncle Kieran out in Ruislip tonight and then going out with a very good friend of mine from school tomorrow night.
Splendid.
So that's my plan.
Lovely stuff. Well, it's been great to have you over here. I hope you can come back and do another live one, but if not, we will speak to you, no doubt, from Paddy Power Towers in the coming weeks. Hope you've enjoyed it, Darren. Thank you very much indeed. Let's tell you what's coming up on the podcast. Maddie and the crew are back on Monday to review the weekend and look ahead to next weekend, where we've got Ascot as the bill topper. Tuesday's a busy day because we've got the anti-post Cheltenham price-wise. Don't forget postcards, we've got them every week. And also the golf is on Tuesday because the action in Europe, or rather in Asia, on Wednesday starts very early in Abu Dhabi. Football Thursday, and then we're back next Friday. So hopefully you can join us for some more great racing postcasts.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.